Hi, babes, and welcome back to another episode of The Dish with Tish. How are we doing? How has our week been, you guys? You know, I've had a pretty good week. It's consisted of an escape room and Cheesecake Factory, so I'm winning. I'm living, okay? And I hope you guys are doing the same. I know it's been so much in pop culture. We have been having a time on the Instagram. The memes, the messages. I have been dying laughing. Y'all have been cutting up over there. And I cannot wait to dish with you all. But I want to give a special warm welcome to some of our new listeners. Because this past week, we have just been showered with so much love. And it's been such a heartwarming, loving thing. The community, the Nickelandrian Nation. I love you guys. And if you just found us, this is The Dish with Tish. And this might be your new favorite spot to just laugh, scream, overanalyze everything from Bravo mess to bombshells entering the villa or whatever chaos is currently unfolding on your screens. And I'm Tish. I'm your host, your friend, and your pop culture therapist. And whether you came for the mess, the Nickelandria, or to hear some hot takes that maybe you won't hear anyone else, because I am one of one, you're in the right place. So make yourself at home, grab a plate, because we're gonna fucking dish. Oh my God, it's truly been a week for the pop culture girlies. I have been literally, I don't even want to check my screen time. Someone asked me the other day, what's your screen time? And I said, that's a really personal question. That's like asking my number, like sexual activity. You can't just ask me what my screen time is, okay? Like, what? That's a very intimate thing, and I don't even want to know because this week has been crazy. So we're just gonna dive right in. I mean, one of the main things that has made this week so crazy is the post-Villa discourse. Now, for people who are new to the Love Island game, the show, like, of course, that takes up so much of our time because it's on 5 nights a week, 6 if you watch After Sun. And obviously, it's consuming us, like having something to watch every day to keep up on top of it. But if this is your first time, you may not have known that truly most of the chaos unfolds after they leave the villa, because once they leave, they start their podcast, they start doing interviews, and that's when people really expose themselves for who they are, good or bad. Good or bad. And this time, it's unlike anything I've ever seen. And that's because this has been the biggest season that they've had as a whole. You know, last season, season 6, it was very much like around episode 9 when people really started picking up with it and keeping up. But this is the first time it's been from the jump. So it's insane. It's insane. And I mean, people have really been doing the most with these podcasts. Like I said, I mean, it really, the way people handle things, it just reveals who they are, you know? Like, for example, God, there's so many, and we're going to talk about a lot of them. Like, an example of how to not do press, Coco is someone I was rooting for her. I was sad that she left. I was like, oh, they definitely need to bring her back for season 8. Like, she was so beautiful, she's charismatic. And then she talked sideways doing these podcasts and these interviews, dragging some of the girls. And I'm like, oh, actually, I don't really fuck with you like that. You're just doing this to stay relevant until the reunion, and you're probably going to get ate the fuck up at the reunion. I cannot wait for this reunion because you already know it's going to be chaos, because this week alone, it's been so messy between the following, the unfollowing, the lives, the interviews, the podcast. It's just truly nonstop, but something that has really been hitting me hard is the fact that so many people are mad about other people defending Black women, and just the anti-Blackness surrounding Shelly and Alandria is really, it's affecting my heart, truly. You know, it's really bumming me out. And, you know, I think a lot of it is because it's the concept of, especially for Alandria in particular, like Shelly has her stuff because of the Huda of it all, which we're going to get into. We're going to talk about Miss Huda, okay? And I know it's Huda, but I say Huda because she's acting real. Okay. But for Alandria in particular, I think it's so hard for these people, like the concept of a beautiful Black woman pulling a conventionally attractive white man over them truly makes them short circuit. And, you know, people just don't give a fuck because you're literally showing your asses over a TV show that shouldn't even be that serious, mind you. Like, it didn't take much for people to show their racism, and that's the thing that I'm trying to say. And I don't think any of my dishers have that mindset. I think we're all of similar values and morals, you know, like we're good people. And if you're listening to this, then obviously you're fucking with a fat femme queer Black bitch. So you're on the right side of history, okay? You're locked in. But for some of these people here, I think that they think this shit is cute, and it's not. Like, this is a TV show. It's not a big deal. And I don't want to hear in 5 fucking years with your boohoo crying, being like, oh, I didn't know any better. Like, I was just upset because they were bullying Huda. Like, I just didn't mean to, because your ass can't get a job because some of the crazy shit, like whoever made that George Floyd meme with Alandria and Huda, like when someone finds those comments and that shit backfires on your ass, like I don't want to hear shit. I don't want to hear a fucking peep. And you know, Huda, for me, she's literally at this point using her platform to get people to bully others, and that's the shit that I don't respect. Because even if you're not saying anything outright, that means you're being complicit. You have 4 million followers. You see the things that you're like. I was watching Nick and Alandria on their TikTok live last night, and like some of the comments that were coming in were insane. I think Alandria just went off because like it was like so out of pocket, so disrespectful, just blatantly racist. Okay. And even some of the things that Huda is reposting, like there was a video of everyone's face, all the girls' faces blurred out, and it was just her, and it said only pretty girl in the villa. It to me, it's just actions speak louder than words. And if you're saying that you don't tolerate or stand for hate, then why are you participating in it, babe? And that's what doesn't make sense to me. And I'm like, again, you have this big ass platform, and that's why I just don't fuck with that. Because to me, it's just not being honest. Like, I don't fuck with the shit that makes her look like the victim. Like those crocodile tears, or as Beyonce would say, them alligator tears, girl, that's I just can't stand that. And I understand she, because I listened to the Call Her Daddy interview, and I feel for her so much. Like, she's had a hard life. She has been through some trauma. And if you listen to the Love Island episodes, we acknowledge that. We acknowledge that she has been through some trauma. She's had a hard time. She's been through some really dark stuff that I wouldn't want anyone to experience, even my worst enemy. Like, it's awful. And that can definitely affect you as a person. But my thing is, like, two things can be true, right? Like, you can have trauma And that may be the reason why you operate the way that you do, but you can't let that be an excuse for the behavior, though, you know? And that's what you can't do. And that's the point that I think everyone is losing, is that everybody has to be responsible for how they treat other people. And because other people who you m meet in your life, they're not responsible for what has happened to you. And that's including me in my life. I have trauma as well. Honey, we want to talk about drama. If y'all want me to do an episode just on trauma, let me know, because we'll be here, okay? It'll be a docu-series if we want to talk about trauma, okay? Like, I understand, but nobody in my life is going to be responsible for that. And I know that. And I can't go around treating people badly because of that, because then now I'm traumatizing somebody else. And, you know, I just feel like that Call Her Daddy interview, I almost feel like Alex Cooper didn't really fuck with her either, because the way she just let Hoda talk herself, she basically handed her a shovel and said, "Go off, queen. Talk your shit. Go the fuck off." And, you know, I just am like, babe, I think you need to go offline for a little bit and like see your therapist. She talked about her therapist, and I said, we need to check on her therapist, because I'm sure her therapist has a therapist, okay? And you know, I feel like everybody in this world needs to go to therapy, not just her, everybody. Like, this world is messed up. We are living in a messed up, disgusting, dark ass world and time right now, and we all go through things that we don't deserve, right? We all go through things that are not fair, that no one should have to. But you have to understand yourself better. Like, you shouldn't want to become your trauma. You know what I mean? Like, that's the point I'm making. I think anybody who says otherwise is somebody who's not healed themselves. Because there's no world you're going to tell me that anybody who is healed or has been through trauma or is going through trauma is going to sit here and say, just because someone's traumatized, that gives them an excuse. And if you do think that, then that is very low vibrational energy. That's a low vibrational dish that I do not want to dig into. That's a cup of tea I will not be drinking, a book I'm putting back on the shelf. Okay, because that's not how life works. And I don't know, I just feel like so many of the people who have participated in the hatred towards Alandra and Shelly are so anti-Black and calling them mean girls and feeding these narratives. And I feel like those are the people they're gonna have to deal with the consequences. And you know, I just feel like the fucking consequences. The pendulum is going to swing back. It always swings forward for a little bit. You know, we get our Obama era and all of that. And then it swings real far back. And we go back. And that's where we're in right now. It is a dark, dark age. But, you know, most of the people who are going to say, you know, "Oh, I didn't know any better. I didn't know any better." I'm like, girl, it's 2025. Okay, like, if you don't know what micro and macro aggressions are towards Black people and you don't know what that means, then babe, I'm sorry. Maybe you're just not equipped up here. Maybe you're just not locked in, because we've had this so many conversations about this shit, especially in recent times, like public examples of this. That just, to me, that's telling me you just don't listen to Black people. And that's okay. But just say that with your chest. Don't hide behind. I just feel like a lot of people are hiding behind Hoda to act out. They're using her as a shield to disguise their racism. Very much like, and I hate to, but very much like 45, you know, like that's the same shit. You are just using this person as an excuse to act your ass out. And just like, say it with your fucking chest, bitch. Don't hide behind somebody else, because we're literally telling you that this shit is racist and you're still trying to tell us that it isn't. So to me, that just shows you don't give a fuck about us. Like, we're, at least me personally, I'm not just gonna come out out of nowhere and be like, oh, this is racist just because I want it to be. Like, no, that's the last thing I want, but it's just so prevalent in the culture that we're in right now. Like, I hate to make stuff about race, but most of the time it be about fucking race. Like, even if people aren't intentionally doing it, as a Black woman, I can't help but see it. Even if you're not trying to do it, it's there, babe. It's there. Even micro, I don't. Let me get my fucking, okay, I got enough for my Nicolandria crumbs, my fucking investigative detective hat. I'll pull it out again to show you the receipts of your fucking microaggressions, okay? Because they're there. And the shit that we deal with, and the fact that y'all participate, and not y'all, because I know, like I said, my dishers, this is a safe space, but a lot of people just contribute to this shit. And y'all don't get how crazy that is, because y'all are the same ones that were fucking posted in black squares in 2020 talking about Black Lives Matter when it was fucking popular and convenient to you. Then Black Lives Matter, then, huh? But when it comes to implementing what the fuck you're trying to do to be performative, it's fucking crickets. Y'all don't want to say shit. And you're showing your fucking anti-Blackness every fucking 5 seconds that you get, every chance you get. And it's really annoying me. So that's that on that, okay? For the Huda, the Iris, the Pepe people who are just hiding behind them to say their ignorant shit. I see you. I see you. I'm clocking it, or clarking it, as the Love Island girlies are saying. Clark it. Clark it, okay? And I'm keeping receipts, okay? Because I'm a Scorpio and I've got a photographic fucking memory when it comes to karma, bitch. Clark that. But there has been some good stuff. Amaya's call her daddy. It's so funny because even the difference between those two, like, Amaya's interview was so joyful, so uplifting, so sweet. Her one-liners, her zingers are top notch. She said, I must have taken a laxative because all the shit that I went through. Girl, give her a Netflix special, okay? Let me see her do some stand-up, because she be eating with the one-liners. Amaya, I love her. Like, there is a way to do it, you know what I mean? There's a way to go about your post-villa discourse and be respectful of everyone, and also telling your fans what the fuck is up. Again, I've said this before already, but Leah last season is the perfect example. A Middle Eastern princess who got a huge following. She was so close to being Huda last year. Like, the crash outs were crazy, but she took a minute, she reflected. And also, when she saw the discourse that was happening about Janae and Serena, she said, hey, y'all are not gonna fucking disrespect my girls like that. I don't fucking appreciate it. Okay. And even Amaya, when Alex said, who do you think is gonna survive? What couple is gonna survive outside the villa? And she said, oh, Nick and Alandria for sure. And Alex said, really? Really? Yeah, bitch, really. Yes. So, it's just the difference between Amaya uplifting her people, making it positive, and Huda just truly being sadness from inside out. Oh my God. And I understand, she's, like I said, I do not discount what she's been through. I really feel for her in that way. But again, it does not give you the right to act like that. You have to take some accountability. We've all been through shit. We all have stuff going on that does not give you that right. And then also another thing, let me add in another thing, another one. Thank you. These fucking journalists or podcasters, girl, some of y'all need to take a class. Some of y'all need to go back the fuck to school, because y'all are terrible at your fucking jobs, bro. Like, I'm sorry, that Chicks in the Office interview with Nick, girl, tell me your prejudice without telling me your prejudice. Because that was crazy. That was really crazy. I was so irritated the entire time watching that because you could just tell that A, they're obviously into him and they're like, why? You don't even realize that you're doing it with the microaggressions, but it's so obvious. It's so obvious. I was in the Discord of Nickelandria Nation and we were all talking about it. And it was so like, this is crazy. This is crazy that these girls are asking these questions and not really about their relationship. It was so Sierra focused and so like trying to gotcha him in a way. And I was so proud of Nick for answering his questions. Because again, like I said before, Nick is very intentional about the things that he says and speaks on. So he did not get caught up at all. They tried to get a gotcha moment and he said, no, ma'am. And fucking Nick Vile, another one, bruh. And I used to fuck with Nick Vile. I'm not gonna lie. I used to look forward to his interviews when some shit would go down in reality TV. I'd be like, ooh, it's gonna be good. He's gonna get the tea. But then I noticed a pattern. I noticed the pattern, the way he speaks about women. It's very misogynistic, and especially Black women, it's very massage noir. And again, it's the micro. He is not outright doing it, but it's just his delivery. It's just his delivery, calling women leftovers. Girl, I'm sorry. Like, y'all will never be Andy Cohen, period dot. You guys are doing a really fucking bad job. The only interviews I felt were really good were the actual journalists. Like Entertainment Tonight did a great interviews with people. Access Hollywood did phenomenal interviews with people. Actually asking them about themselves and their relationships versus just drama. Of course, we want tea. Of course. Like, I understand. You're trying to get your clicks. That's all fine and dandy, but don't try to fucking gotcha people. That's what we have a reunion for. We literally have Andy Cohen on the case. Like, you're gonna get clicks and views without having to do all that. So it just felt very gimmicky and gross. And I should have known Chicks in the Office is a fucking Barstools podcast and talk about fucking hiding behind something. Girl, bye. Bye, miss me with that shit. So that's just some of the Love Island discourse of this week. It's been crazy. It's been crazy. It's been a lot to keep up with watching all these fucking interviews and listening to these podcasts, but it's been disappointing. It's been disappointing to say the least. But there have been some Amaya, Nickelandria, Chris, even though he did Vile Files, but there have been some good ones, and I can't wait for the reunion. We'll see if I have more to discuss next week. If these bitches still gonna be showing their asses out, I know some of them are going back home. So hopefully we'll have a little break because, oh my gosh, I have not known peace all week because of these fucking Islanders, and they're not even in the villa anymore. Oh, moving on. Another thing that has had us in a chokehold. Viva La Affair. Astronomer, astronomer. A sky full of cheats. Fuck a sky full of stars. A sky full of cheats. Sky full of jumbotrons. Honestly, bringing your side piece or your sneaky link to a Coldplay concert truly is the caucasity. The caucasity. It's got to be the most Caucasian thing I've ever heard of in my entire fucking life. Honest to God. Like, really? Girl, tell me you work for a white ass company and you're a white ass bitch. Because what the hell? What? But something I have noticed with this story in particular is the level of misinformation that has been thrown out about this whole jumbotron Coldplay astronomer of it all. The misinformation has been crazy. taking like meme accounts as real apologies and open letters and people who were there, like what their positions were in the company, what the name of the company is. It's just really just showing how toxic our news information is. Like, we don't have reliable sources like that anymore. And it's really scary to me. Like, this really, like, of course, it brought the internet together for the last like 48 hours. It's been bliss. I truly have liked hundreds, if not thousands, of posts and images that people have made. It's so funny. It's a fucking time and a key. But it does scare me because it's just so diluted with misinformation. Like, it's truly been all over the place. So here's the facts that I got, the actual information that I could tell you. It is a company called Astronomer that, you guessed it, is about astronomy. And the CEO, Andy Byron, and the company's HR chief, Kristen Cabot, are facing allegations of cheating after they were caught, you guessed it, on the Jumbotron at the Coldplay concert. And to me, it's always the bitches in HR. It's always the bitches that are telling you what you can and can't do that are acting the fuck out, okay? It's always the bitches in HR that have the fucking Cruel Intentions cocaine cross around their neck. You know what I mean? It's always the bitches in HR that are telling you, you can't do that. That's actually not great. That are sucking and fucking the boss under the desk, or, saying, who do I have to fuck to get some more PTO? Like, it's just so that really, as soon as I saw who it was, I was like, it's always those girls. I'm saying it always be the ones that tell you what you can't do, that yield that power, that be cutting up, girl. Okay. They be like, I'm gonna tell you what doing the damn most. Okay. And I know there was some misinformation about the girl, because there was a woman smiling beet red next to them. And I initially was looking into it, and people were saying it's someone that they work with, but it's not. Apparently, it's not the Alyssa girl that replaced Kristen. It's not her. But regardless of that woman, I love her because she is so me. She is so me. I love mess that ain't mine. Okay. I love some tea and drama that's not mine. Okay. That's why I'm hosting this fucking show. That's literally why I had this fucking podcast, you guys. So I felt seen in whoever that woman was, okay? And apparently Kristen, the HR woman, she's just started working there 9 months ago. I mean, my thing is, like, if you guys would have just started making out, this could have totally been avoided. You know what I mean? Like, I guess you can't hide your body language, like fight, flight, freeze, but the fact that they reacted that way, that truly was the kiss of death. Like, that was really what sealed it for them, was their reaction. Like, it was so dramatic. And Chris calling it out was the cherry on top, because he was so, it's genuinely excited at first. Like, when, they're putting the camera on everyone, and he's like, oh, all these beautiful people. Look at all this love in the room with us. And then they reacted the way they did. And he was just like, oh, okay, never mind. And they just cut to these people in fucking banana suits. And, their body language really did them dirty. Their body language is what did them dirty. And, I gotta say, I love that the last few years it's been like one kind of eat the rich moment that's happened. First, it was the orcas attacking the yachts. And then, obviously, it was Luigi. And then we had Ocean Gate. And now we've got the Coldplay affair. So let's just keep these cycles of these rich people fucking around and finding out because Mr. Andy, astronomer, is a billionaire. So he should have fucking got him a suite. Okay. Like if you got all that money, girl, why aren't you backstage? Why aren't you in an exclusive area? Like if you are a billionaire and you're cheating, why are you not taking extra precautions? You're too comfortable, my guy. So truly, you found the fuck out. And that's that. And I love to see it. And I good for that woman. I hope his wife cleans up. I hope she was not sad. She was like, that's cool because I'm about to get rich, honey. Oh, speaking of getting rich, the people who broke into Beyonce's fucking car, y'all are diabolical, but also like, no, don't release it. No, don't do that. Please, wink, wink. No, but that is actually insane. I could not believe that because y'all know Beyonce, she don't fuck around with stuff like that. So I just hope she doesn't punish us because of whoever stole her shit. So in Atlanta, there was a robbery. Someone broke into her choreographer's car. They smashed the windows of the trunk of the car, where the choreographer had put a suitcase, and the suitcase happened to contain some unreleased music from Beyonce. We don't know exactly what, if they're gonna drop it, like release it somewhere. We don't know, but y'all know she don't like shit like that. So I just hope she doesn't punish us, but that really was like, wowie, wow, wah. Oh. And she knows that would never happen in Chicago. That would never happen here. So if you want to give us an extra day to make up for the Atlanta shenanigans, if you want to just skip Atlanta and do some more time here, we will gladly have you, Queen Bey. Please, please. You know, they fucking weathered a literal fucking storm, hurricane ass shit to see you, girl. And nobody took your fucking money, girl. Nobody took your fucking money or your music. So remember that next time for Act Three. Yeah, remember that. Okay. Speaking of remembering, oh my God, we got to talk about these Emmy noms. These Emmy noms were pretty good. I mean, everything that I love was nominated because, duh, I have excellent taste. And apparently the Television Academy does too. I feel like the Emmys are what I wish the Oscars would be because they really like, maybe it's just because TV is more diverse and there's more, but I don't know. I feel the Emmys rarely disappoint me. Like sometimes they kind of get stuck in ruts where it'll be like the same thing. It's like Hacks, okay, next. The Bear, okay, next. You know, it could kind of be like that, but I do appreciate it for what it's worth because they give everyone their flowers for the most part at the Emmys. So some of these nominations. So the front runners for the Emmys this year are Severance, The White Lotus, The Studio, and Hacks are among the top earning nominations of the Emmys this year. Apple's coming for HBO. They really are squaring up. They are squaring up with HBO. And I'm kind of here for it because they're leading the pack with Severance. Severance has the most nominations with 27. So Severance is definitely leading the charge with nominations this year. And I mean, the second season was incredible. It was so good. I mean, I'm still gutted by that finale. It really upset me to the point that after I finished watching that, I immediately started watching Adolescence because I was in such a bad fucking mood. And I knew that I could just rip the band-aid off watching Adolescence while I was pissed off. And that is also a phenomenal show. That's nominated as well for limited series. We've obviously got The White Lotus has got 23 nominations. And then the next most nominated show is The Penguin. The Penguin is HBO, and Oh, what a phenomenal show. I was completely blown away by the Penguin. I mean, I limited series is tough. Limited series is really, really tough. I don't know who's gonna win because all of those fucked me up for different level, for different reasons and on different levels. So, I genuinely don't know who's gonna win that one. Should I do like a fan casting? If you guys want me to do a fan casting Emmy episode, let me know because you know I love that. That'd be really, really fun. I could bring in some of my fellow movie expert friends to do some fan casting of what we think is gonna win. Maybe put some money, place some bets, put some money on the line. You wanna put some money on the line for the Emmys, the Primetime Television Academy Emmys. I can't believe Harrison Ford got his first Emmy nomination at the ripe age of 83 for Shrinking, my favorite show on TV right now. I love Shrinking more than anything. It's helped me with so much in my own grief process, and I just am so grateful a show like that exists in my lifetime. And I'm praying that somebody gets something because I felt like this second season was incredible. Incredible. Every single person I've introduced it to has been like, thank you for bringing this show to my life. And I just feel like it deserves every fucking flower that it gets. And I hope that the Emmys can provide that for my shrinking girls. Because if not, maybe the Academy should be shrinking. How about that? Clock that. Clark it. But yeah, there's some really good, really good nominees. I mean, drama series is also so tough. Andor, The Diplomat, The Last of Us, Paradise, The Pitt, Severance, Slow Horses, and The White Lotus. I mean, bruh. Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. I genuinely, again, I'll do a fan casting right now. Oh, I don't know what I would pick. That's really fucking hard. That's really, really tough. And then comedy series too, it's another tough one. Abbott Elementary, The Bear, Hacks, Nobody Wants This, Only Murders in the Building, Shrinking, The Studio, and What We Do in the Shadows. Bruh. Bruh. I don't know. Limited series, Adolescence, Black Mirror, Dying for Sex, Monsters, The Lyle and Eric Menendez Story, The Penguin, like, I don't know. I don't know. Because I genuinely like love all of these. All of these. They're all so fucking good. We had a great year. I mean, I really feel like I know people say the golden age, the golden age, but the last few years of TV, I mean, some of the stuff that we have experienced in our time, it's been really revolutionary. It's been a really cool time to be a person who loves TV like I do, because I mean, it's truly, there's so much good stuff that has truly recalibrated my brain and inspired me so much and just made me question so much in a positive way, you know, like whether that's the legal system or the way you treat people, you know, the economy, just there's so grief, everything. I just feel like television really is in her fucking era right now. And these nominations are just a testament to that. And I, oh God, I love it. I live for this shit. So I cannot wait for the fucking Emmys. That's gonna be so good. Those are on Sunday, September 14th. So if you guys want me to do a fan casting, I'll probably do a poll on the Insta too to see if that's something that you guys would be interested in. And we can get that going. Maybe do a little round table. Wait, stop. That'd be so fun if I do a round table with some good ass TV watchers. Ooh, look at again. The power of television. I'm already thinking. I'm already thinking, baby. Speaking of thinking, I have been thinking about, I mean, I'm just going to do a couple honorable mentions of some tea that's happened this week. Honorable mentions, we've got Sheena Shea. She had a exclusive with Us Weekly talking about how Brock cheated on her and it saved her marriage. And this is all I'm going to say about it. It's just funny to me that she knew that this was happening the last season that they filmed Vanderpump Rules. And she was quick to throw shade and a spotlight on Katie and Ariana, calling them fake and talk about how they don't share as much, this, that, and the third. Yet this bitch knew her husband cheated on her, and that did not come up on the show once. So she's literally throwing stones with a fucking glass ass house, bitch. You living in a tequila bottle? Because what the fuck? What is that, girl? And it doesn't even surprise me because, like, of course, but I imagine getting cheated on by a man who, like, you put on. You know what I mean? You pay his bills. You're the one that got him to where he is, and he has the fucking audacity to cheat on your ass, bruh. And you still stay? And then you do a magazine cover talking about it? Bruh, that could never be me. Can never be me. But one thing about Sheena gonna make a story out of whatever it is. Sheena gonna find a way to be relevant. In a way, I do respect that about her. Like, she's gonna find her in, whether it's herself being friends with someone, she gonna weasel her way into the limelight. And I do respect that. But at the same time, like, you can't talk about someone else wanting to be real, but then you're literally hiding this ginormous secret from the show that you're on and calling everyone else out. Girl, what? That's a little hypocritical, if I do say so. Some more Bravo drama. Denise Richards filed for divorce from Aaron. And, you know, I guess he didn't like the wild things. He did not fuck with that. And honestly, as hot as he is, because Aaron is sexy as fuck, but I kind of had a feeling he was a little off. Like, watching it back, like hearing the news, I was like, oh damn, that's crazy because they just had this show together. But also replaying scenes of them together, I could kind of see that because he does seem like a bit of a hothead. He's very reactive. You know, I remember one scene, they were storming off from a party after people were kind of coming for them. And he said, come on, or I'm gonna break your fucking hand. And I was like, oh, okay, girl. She's trying to leave the party. Like, let's not do that. And I mean, some of the pictures that she had in the divorce papers, it was a lot. I mean, yeah, he physical violence, and that is sad, especially because they do, you know, she has Eloise, who is a little girl with learning disabilities, and I hope she didn't see any of that. But yeah, that sucks for Denise and just everything that she's going through, because she's got enough with her daughters, and now this whole divorce, that, you know, it's gonna be messy because now he's starting to come for her, because of course he's not just gonna take it lying down. He's gonna try to spin it because that's the day and age we live in. You could beat your partner and then be like, well, no, she was cheating on me the whole time, so that's justified, right? Actually, it's not. It's not. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Okay, so those are just some of the pop culture happenings from this week. It's been a lot, so we're gonna get into our meal because I'm feeling a little famished. I'm feeling a little hungry. So we're gonna start with my appetizer. My appetizer this week. Nicolandria content. Nica Landry, my couple, my winners. I love them so much. I really haven't felt this way about like normal people. Like it's kind of like I really I it's been a minute truly since like it's really taken me back to the 1D Twilight teenage. Like I truly feel like a kid and I'm just rooting for them so badly, not only because I believe in what they have, I do feel like it is the epitome of black cat golden retriever vibes, 1000%. Like just seeing the way that they've moved this week has kind of solidified how much I believe in their relationship. Like in one of Nick's interviews, they were like, where's Alandria? Where is she? And he's like, you know, she's my shy girl. And I said, you're shy girl. What? And just seeing them together, just the way he loves on her and seeing how comfortable she's is with him laying on each other and just like they're so striking together. Like they really are a beautiful couple. If you do not see that, then you are just downright racist because that's a striking couple. That's a couple I'd see on the street and say, can I watch? Hey, I know you don't know me, and this is, hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. So here's my number. So stream it, maybe. Send it to me, please. Like, I'm really sad. I can't see Nick put Alandria through a fucking mattress. I'm gonna say it. That's, is that weird? Is that weird? I don't know. I just love, they're just, everything. And this, Nicolandria community, Nicolandria Nation, I have found my people. I have found my people because not only it's founded by Black women and this community. I mean, we started a Discord and there's thousands of us on here. Some of you are listening right now. Hi, hello. I love you. I love chatting with you guys. And it really is such a safe space that we have cultivated because we went from a crack ship truly being like detectives trying to piece it together, people calling us crazy and us sticking together, believing in them. And true, I feel like we built it brick by brick. You know what I mean? Like we saw it before they saw it. And this community is, you could tell it's people who are active readers, people who love fucking books, people who are hopeless romantics, people who believe in love, believe in stepping out your comfort zone, because that's a big thing for Alandria, like the interracial dating. And that's another thing. Let me say this too. I wish more interviewers would ask them about that because that is something that they're going to have to face. And I would love to talk to them about that aspect, especially Alandria and her upbringing, because I feel like Nick is a little more used to. I could see Nick having dabbled in some not just Caucasian girls, whereas Alandria, it's new for her. Her being like, do we look good together? Do we look natural? Like when she was in the villa asking Shelly that, you know. So I would like to know things like that. But I just have been living for not only this community of people, but their relationship. I really am rooting for them so much. I am trying not to freak them out, but I feel like they're not because Nick has been reposting all the edits like crazy and they have been living for them. And I know a lot of us were like, okay, let's not freak them out because they're real people and we don't want to be weird. And of course, there are people who take it there outside their Airbnb and like being fucking weird, blowing up their lives and stuff and saying weird shit. But for the ones that are normal and know how to have like a normal parasocial relationship, like I care, I'm invested, but I'm not going to make them feel extremely uncomfortable or not want to fucking be around or be like, actually, this is weird. We shouldn't be together. Like that's the worst case scenario. So I'm just so obsessed with them and this community. I'm living for. I love y'all so much. And honestly, the support, like truly, We posted some videos last week with the finale coming up, and not only did we get thousands of likes, we got hundreds of new followers, which was insane. Like, I was at the spa, I was literally in the middle of giving someone a facial, and my producer was like, "Hey, did you boost the post?" And I was like, "No, why?" And I just got a screenshot of just all of it coming in, and I was so overwhelmed in the best way. And I just feel like we really are finding our people. These are the people that I want to be around. Reality TV, pop culture, avid readers, just people who get it. Black and brown, queer people, like, oh, I'm just elated. And yeah, so Nicolandria content is definitely my appetizer. I'm obsessed, can't get enough. Licking the dish clean, okay? Now, my main is Superman. Oh, I loved this movie. I loved it. And a part of me went in being a little scared because it's such a tale as old as time, you know? Like, it's kind of hard to do something original with a story like that. And James Gunn did exactly that. He really did. I was so blown away. I just felt like this Superman was so different than ones that I've seen in the past, because for a minute there, I thought Superman was gonna make it. I was like, oh, are we doing like a modern day, like fucking Superman? Not everyone's invincible, bitch. Even Superman can fucking get got. Like, for a second, I was like, oh my God, what is happening? But it also was so coded with what's going on in the world with Israel and Palestine. I mean, it wasn't outright, but that's what was happening. We know what was happening with Lex Luthor and that made-up country, okay? It was very pro-Palestine coded. I mean, honestly, to bring life into such a legacy of a story, it's no small feat. It really isn't. And I loved it. And I thought, you know, David was the perfect Superman. He brought a different side. He was so vulnerable, and I really appreciated that as well. I really liked the music. I mean, James Gunn does have a way of making the music be such a pivotal part to the story, and as someone who does that myself as a director, I really appreciate him doing that. And David bringing this really vulnerable and sweet side, I really appreciated that. I thought Rachel was the great Lois in their relationship. Bradley Cooper, I didn't know he was in it. He makes an appearance. Love that. I mean, Lex Luthor, Nicholas. Oh my gosh. I saw a tweet and it said, give it up to Skins for giving us our two biggest villains this year in Jack O'Connell and Sinners and in Nicholas and Superman. I mean, his Lex Luthor was so nasty. Oh, he was so nasty. Oh, Nicholas, he can play an asshole so well. Like, he really can. I even think about like The Menu, which is a movie I love, love The Menu. And he plays such a dick in that. Oh, I love Nicholas. He was a great Lex Luthor. It was really, really good. The ending, I mean, I cried a lot because, of course, just some of the parts. There's the dog looks like my dog nephew, looks like little Fig. And as soon as I saw him, I started crying. I was like, oh my God, that looks like Fig. I love him. And the ending, more than anything, like, show me my parents weeping, weeping. That was beautiful. And I also love seeing my hometown of Cleveland just like shining in its glory, you know, being able to locate little spots, being like, oh my God, my friend got married there. That's crazy. Or, oh my God, that's where we used to go bowling and, you know, things like that. And yeah, it's a damn near perfect movie. It is, especially for something as big as Superman is, to have so much heart and be political without being intentionally political, or maybe it was, maybe they were just masking the pro-Palestine propaganda in there, but that's some propaganda I am falling for, because Palestine from the river to the sea, okay, period. But it, for a summer blockbuster, it's it ate, it ate, it was fucking phenomenal. I really loved it. I gave it 4.5 stars out of 5. And the only reason I'm not giving it the full 5 is I don't even know why. I should just give it 5, because it really is damn near perfect. It's a phenomenal movie. So that's my main course. Okay. That is my main. And my dessert, we're gonna switch it up a little bit, and we're gonna do a little book time. Okay. My dessert is a little book, because especially having spent the last 7 weeks bogged down in Love Island, I've been like, let me like recalibrate my brain and read a little bit, because listening to these conversations sometimes and being tapped in is so fucking mind-numbing that I'm like, I need to stimulate my brain. So I've been reading, and my dessert this week is A Court of Mist and Fury, the second book in the ACOTAR series. And apparently this is the best one. Everyone has been like, oh my God, I can't wait for you to read the second one. Like, the second one is apparently some of the author's best writing that she's ever done. So I'm very excited. It picks literally right where it left off in the first book. And so far I'm entertained. It's a good time. I really like the main character, Feyre. I think she is a good lead. I think she's a good lead. You're rooting for her. You understand where she's coming from and her love interest. Like, oh my gosh. Ooh. Foin, foin, foin. Very here for them. They're all, of course, I like the emo one. Of course, I like the one that's like brooding and sexy. I mean, they're all sexy, but you know, the one that's like in the night court, I'm like, that's Scorpio down. That's my man. I'm here for him. It's crazy. I've been feeling so hetero lately because the Love Island effect. Oh my God, I haven't felt this hetero in a minute, you guys. And I'm like, do I need to give you a little sneaky link? Like, I don't know. I'm feeling crazy. And I could spit and get one. Like, that's not the issue. I just like, do I need one? No. Do I want one? I won't say no. I wouldn't be opposed if somebody was like, if you could fit to my terms, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, this book, it's scratching that itch in my brain. I'm getting the fantasy, I'm getting the romance and the sci-fi of it all. So it's definitely doing what needs to be done. And so far, so good. I'm still like chapter 10. So I'm still early days, but like I said, I just needed something. It was getting mind numbing. And I'm still watching Love Island UK, and that one's really annoying because the men over there are, oh, pieces of fucking work. Oh, girl, men. And this is why it's funny, because I read these books, I see Nicolandra, and I'm like, maybe I do want a guy. And then I watch Love Island UK, and I'm like, never mind. Ugh, 'cause like, men are God. Like, thank God I'm queer, because man, if I just was straight, like, I truly feel so bad for my hetero friends. Like, that sucks. If that's the only thing you like and you have to like find something in that, ugh. Hard times. But also honorable mention to Daddy Davidson, Pete Davidson having a baby. Very exciting. I'm like, okay, now it makes sense why he was getting them tattoos removed and straightening up his life, because he was re getting ready to settle down. He wanted to have a little baby. And his baby mama is gorgeous, and she's a model. And she's dated famous people before, Benny Blanco, Jason Sudeikis. So she knows the way of how the industry works, but also she's not as removed. So congrats, Mamacita, mommy, Mamacita. I love that for them. And also Swag. I knew it. I clocked it. I said, Swag, Bieber is either gonna make a bop of a fucking record or it's gonna be a train wreck. It's either gonna be like his opus or it's gonna be like his blackout. And it hits. It hits. It has some really, it's a bop. It's really good, you guys. If you haven't listened to it, I do recommend. I was vibing. Like, it's not really any like super single heavy, but it flows really well. I was surprised. Daisies is great. All I Can Take is great. Fucking Go Baby, Go Baby, Go Baby, Go Baby, Go. Love that. Things You Do. I mean, like I said, it's some bops on here. It's some bops on here. So good for you, Justin, for doing that. I don't know, just dropping, taking a note out of Beyonce's book and just dropping a fucking record and, you know, job well done, because it's tea. It's tea. Oh, well, you guys, I'm stuffed. We delick this dish clean, honey, with everything. And I am. And that's the dish, darling. And if you're new here, again, welcome. I hope you laughed, screamed, and gasped at any point. And honestly, same. And I hope you hit that follow button and leave us 5 stars, a cute little review, so you don't miss another single messy moment here with me. We drop episodes every week, and we've got plenty more where this is coming from. We're just getting started, baby. And until next time, keep the group chat open. We're always here. Keep sending us all the funny things. And don't forget, if it's pop culture, we're probably already talking about it. Thank you guys. I love you. I'll see you soon.